This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Just half of the nation's lakes and rivers that the Environmental Protection Agency oversees are rated clean. The others fail to meet basic water quality standards.
And as Maine Public Radio's Susan Sharon reports, nowhere is that more evident than on the Androscoggin River.
Legend has it that the Androscoggin River was so polluted 50 years ago, its fumes alone could peel the paint off nearby houses, and children could bounce their lunch money off the foam. Several pulp and paper mills upriver got the brunt of the blame. And while the mills have invested in cleaner technology, the Androscoggin is still so dirty in one 14-mile section that during the summer, giant machines called bubblers pump in 93,000 pounds of oxygen a day.
The pollution robs the water of oxygen, and it causes the fish to suffocate. Essentially, they're putting fish on life support.
Steve Hinchman of the Conservation Law Foundation says even the bubblers have failed the Androscoggin because native fish have not returned, and because below the mills, nobody swims in the river. CLF and other environmental groups want the mills to be forced to comply with the Clean Water Act to make the river fishable and swimmable. And they aren't the only ones advocating for a cleaner river. Just a few hundred yards from the Androscoggin's Great Falls, which roar past the city of Lewiston, Michael Carey of Solo Properties can see several enormous empty textile mills with what he calls a million-dollar view.
Our particular interest is in doing residential condos in these old buildings, in these beautiful old brick buildings on the water.
The mills and the thousands of workers they employed are long gone, but Carey envisions a brighter future for the Androscoggin and for a city that once produced a quarter of the nation's textiles. One of the hurdles is getting paper mills upriver to share the dream. And in a region clinging to its natural resource-based economy, there's resistance. Dozens of paper workers turned out at a recent public hearing on proposed water discharge permits that would require the mills to cut pollution within 5 years. The Maine Board of Environmental Protection must decide whether the time frame and the limits are reasonable. Electrician Scott Grissette with the New Page Mill says they are not.
Well, we're competing globally, and if we can't make the paper here in Maine at a reasonable price, they'll shut this mill down because it's easier to do it in another part of this country. And then when it becomes too difficult in that part of the country, then they'll ship it from overseas.
Not far away, the Otis Mill, owned by Wausau Paper, is facing higher prices for fuel, paper fiber, and electricity. It's a small facility with 245 workers. But the jobs pay an average of $19 an hour, much higher than workers can typically find. Many of them are third and fourth generation. This is the only work they know. Gary Rudemiller is vice president of operations at Otis, which opened for business in 1896.
In the nine previous business years, the mill has made a profit 1 year out of nine. It's difficult to continue to lose money year after year and consider that mill a viable mill.
Mill workers argue that sewage treatment plants, fertilizer from farms, and other runoff also hurt the river. But according to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection, the mills are still by far and away the biggest culprits, pumping billions of gallons of wastewater into the Androscoggin every year and contributing to the river's inability to meet the standards of the Clean Water Act it inspired. For NPR News, I'm Susan Sharon in Lewiston, Maine.